Take your Bibles and go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Common to this time of year is we look at the death and resurrection of Jesus. And probably the biggest service anywhere in Christianity is what we refer to as Easter service, where the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is told. But that is only the beginning of the story. Really, after Jesus died, after he lived his life in his ministry, which at the most was 3.5 years of his actual ministry, then he died and he was raised from the dead. And then he was on the earth for 40 days in his resurrected body, and then he ascended into heaven to the right hand of God. And really, that's really when the story begins of Christianity, is once Jesus got in this position of authority, and it's the time we live in now. So we're going to take a look at the book of Acts, which starts this time after his resurrection. And the book of Acts is it's really the rise and the expansion of the church in the first century. It covers around 30 to 40 years, and it is the beginning of what we call the Christian church, those followers of Christ and what they did. And it starts out in Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them for over a period of 40 days, and speaking of things concerning what? The kingdom of God. This is the message that Jesus proclaimed. For 40 days after his resurrection, this is the message that Jesus proclaimed, the kingdom of God. The book of Acts opens here with Jesus in his resurrected body for 40 days speaking about the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Look at Acts chapter, the last chapter of the book of Acts, Acts 28. Acts 28. The book of Acts closes with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul was incarcerated and brought to Rome. He was kind of on house arrest in Rome, and he had a rental home in Rome. And here, this closes, and this is how the book of Acts closes, Acts 28, verse 30. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters, and was welcoming all who came to him. Verse 31, look at this. Preaching what? The kingdom of God, and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all openness unhindered. So the book of Acts opens with Jesus for 40 days preaching the kingdom of God. The book of Acts closes with the Apostle Paul in his rental home preaching the kingdom of God. This is the message of Jesus. This was the message of the apostles. And over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts and seeing this message throughout it. But today, kind of as an introduction, the message of the gospel of the kingdom of God is the message that Jesus preached during his ministry on earth. It would behoove us as the Christian church to do the same. It would behoove us as the Christian church to know the message and to speak the message of the kingdom. Look at Matthew 6 in the Gospels. I want to look a little bit at the Gospels to just show you that this is what Jesus was all about. Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, 33. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. seek first his kingdom. I believe the King James Version says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I know that verse pretty well, because when I was in high school, this verse, it really set me on course for my life through many reasons. But this verse became really alive to me, that the first thing I'm supposed to seek is the kingdom of God. And so I, at that point, when it was time to graduate from high school, I set on a quest to do that very thing, to seek God first, to seek his kingdom. Now, at the time, I have to tell you, I had no idea what I was doing or where God would take me or where things would be. I think when I first did this, and actually for many years, the way I would take this verse, Matthew 6:33, I would interpret it this way. But seek first the things of God, and all these things will be added unto you. I, in my mind, interpreted the kingdom of God simply generically as the things of God, those things which pertain to God. Not understanding at the time that there is a real truth, that there is going to be a kingdom of God that is going to exist on this planet. And it's going to have a king sitting on his throne who will rule on behalf of God. That message didn't come to me for many, many years. In fact, just really in the last 10 years have I really begun to understand the full ramifications of what Jesus preached. That he preached about the coming kingdom of God. Look at Mark. I thought we'd spend a few, little bit in Mark. Mark's pretty easy to go through, so I thought this would be a good place to go here. Mark chapter 1. This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. If you've recorded, you follow the Gospels, when Jesus was about 30 years old, he went to John the Baptist. Remember John the Baptist? And he baptized him. And then John saw the Spirit descend upon him like a dove, and he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. After that time period, Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days to be tempted, to the temptations that we know of. It's recorded in Luke chapter 4, it's recorded in Matthew chapter 4, and it's mentioned here, actually, in Mark 1:13, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted of Satan. Then, after he comes out of the wilderness, now Jesus begins what his ministry is all about. What Jesus was all about, he begins. And in verse 14 it says, now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God. Verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. When Jesus talked about the gospel, it wasn't just a generic thing. He spoke of the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel regarding the kingdom of God. And here Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The word at hand means it's near. The kingdom of God is close. The kingdom of God is coming. Pay attention. He also said here, all is fulfilled, or he said, the time is fulfilled. Now, this is a real quick overview of things. Do you realize every prophet in the Old Testament spoke about this coming kingdom? Every prophet in the Old Testament spoke of a time that God was going to rejuvenate the earth. To the prophet, to the man, Abraham, God made a covenant. And he told Abraham, out of your seed, the whole earth is going to be blessed through Abraham, the father of faith. Those who have the faith of Abraham are going to inherit the earth. They are going to make an inheritance of the earth. He chose in the nation Israel a kingdom of priests. They were to be a kingdom of priests to set an example, to bring people to God, to understand who the true God was. In King David, who was the great king, of Israel. God gave him a covenant. And he told King David, he said, from your throne, from your seed, David, is going to come one in the future. And this descendant of yours is going to sit on the throne of God. He's going to sit on God, the throne of God's kingdom. Your throne, David, he's going to inherit it. But the throne that this one is going to inherit is going to last forever. And of his kingdom, there is not going to be any end. This is a message that wasn't hidden. This is the message of the Bible. That there is this coming kingdom, and this descendant of David is going to be the one that sits on the throne on God's behalf. He is going to be God's vice regent. In other words, God is over all. It's God's kingdom. It is what God is going to bring to pass, but he is going to have a man that he would choose and select from the seed of David that would sit upon this throne of his on the earth. And that from this throne, it is going to last forever. This is what the Jewish people were anticipating. This was the kingdom. So when Jesus comes and says, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is near, they should have understood what he meant. That he, Jesus, is this one. And in the scriptures, this one that was coming to sit on God's throne is called the Mashiach. In Hebrew, that's the anointed one. The Mashiach, which we translate today as the Messiah. And in Greek, that's from Hebrew, in Greek, the Messiah is the Christ. The Christ. For years, I didn't know what that meant. You know, I thought, you know, there was Father Christ and Mother Christ, they had a baby, and it was Jesus, it was his last name. Not understanding that the Messiah is actually a fulfillment of this promise of this coming kingdom. That there was one that was going to come that is going to inherit the throne of David and sit on this kingdom forever. This is the message that Jesus preached. The time is near. The time is at hand. Repent. Change your life. Believe the gospel message so you too can be part of this kingdom that is coming. This is the message that Jesus spoke. Look at Mark chapter 4. Mark 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. He began to teach again by the sea. And such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down, and the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables and was saying to them in his teaching, listen to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And he was sowing, some seed fell by the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell unto good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you follow the parallel of this in Matthew chapter 13, you'll see that Jesus gave forth many parables. Many, many parables. This was the first one. And as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. They're saying, why is he talking to us this way? And he said to them, he's explaining to them why he spoke in parables. To you, to his disciples, it has been given the mystery of what? The kingdom of God. To you, I am revealing the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, get everything in parables. So that while seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven. You see, the parables. Now, I'm not going to take the time to look at all the parables today. But if you follow the parables, Do you know what almost, not all of them, but you know what most of them, how Jesus begins? The kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of God is like this. The kingdom of heaven is like this. What were the parables about? They're about the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And here, he says, the reason I'm telling to you in parables is for those who want to know. The message about the kingdom is for those who want to know. I remember when I heard this, you know, I'm sitting in my seat when I first heard this. And you know what I was saying? I want to know. I was like, I'd like to know. I want to know what Jesus taught. I want to know what he said. I didn't want to be one of those who was stubborn who didn't hear. I want to be one of those who's humble and says, Lord, teach me. I want to know. I want to know about your kingdom. I think in Ephesians where it says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. You know what that really is about? It's about your hope. It's about what is going to be revealed to you in the end times, in that coming kingdom. How bad do you want to know? How bad do you want to know what Jesus taught? And then he says to them in verse 13, do you not understand this parable of the sower and the seed? How will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. Now, if you read Matthew, it specifically says that the word sown in this parable is the seed of the gospel of the kingdom. The seed that is sown, that Jesus taught, is that message of the kingdom. These are the ones who, beside the road where the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. I didn't want to be one of those people. I didn't want to be one of those people who hears and gets, oh, tickles my ear, and then walks away. Where Satan would steal out of my heart that which Jesus had taught. In similar verse 16 way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. These are people, they hear the message, they hear the truth about the kingdom, but then there's a little pressure. I mean, in Bible times, it was a lot of pressure. They got, you know, whipped, stoned, persecuted. Today, the pressure maybe is a little more subtle. Maybe your friends are going to laugh at you if you say that you stand for God. Maybe your family doesn't like the idea that you want to stand for God. And they kind of give you a hard time. A lot of different persecutions that we run across. I don't want to be one of those who gets all excited here at church, but then go out in the work, I get offended, or people at work, I'm afraid to speak because I don't want to offend anybody or feel persecuted from that. The next verse, verse 18 says, and the ones who are among seed was sown among thorns, these are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. I didn't want to be one of these people either. This is where you get in so much credit card debt, you're bound. Or you have a desire for things. You lust after things. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's sex, maybe it's drugs, maybe it's alcohol. Or you lust after covetousness. This world is pretty filled with covetousness to draw us away. You see, Jesus spoke about these things. These are real. And these are the things that take you away from pursuing the one thing that really matters. The coming kingdom of God. The coming kingdom. That's what Jesus was about. That's what he talked about. That's what he spoke about. And then he says in verse 20, and those on whom the seed sow on good soil are they that hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Praise God, that's where we want to be. And there will be persecutions. There will be thorns. There will be temptations. But you keep at it. You get up and you keep at it. And you keep pursuing and you keep pursuing. And you get yourself up and you keep pursuing. And fruit comes. You keep at it day after day. And then your fruit begins to be seen in your life. As we approach that coming day of the kingdom. He goes on and tells many parables. Look at verse 30. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God? How are we going to picture it? Now, look at this parable. How do we picture the kingdom? You know, I always wonder, well, what's the kingdom of God going to look like? Well, what he says here. How do we picture it? Or what parable shall we present it? Verse 31. It's like Jesus. You can see Jesus. And now he's got my attention. Okay. It's like a mustard seed. A mustard seed, you know what this? That's a dinky little seed. Like a piece of grass seed. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. What? What he says. And when it is sown upon the soil, though that is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. And it grows into this huge mustard tree. You see, the kingdom of God today, it's just like that small seed. It's very easy for us to say, where's the kingdom? I don't see it. I see a messed up world's what I see. Amen? It's pretty messed up. You know, the politics, the riots. What is this with these riots? What are these cities, people? What is that? You know, where is the kingdom? Where is this time? We know we sang it. There'll be peace in the world. Where is that? It's a mustard seed. It plants in our hearts today. But there's a day coming that seed is going to grow. And it's going to become a huge tree that's above everything else. And everything in the world is going to come into subjection to this kingdom when it comes. But today, we have faith. And we carry on until that day comes. He gave others, in Matthew, he gives other parables saying the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like a man who opens, he finds a pearl of great price. And that pearl, he sells everything he has so he can get that pearl. Or it's like a man who finds a hid treasure in a field. He buys a field. And he sells everything he had to buy that field for the treasure that's there. What that tells me is the kingdom of God is worth everything. It is worth our lives to pursue what Jesus said is coming. These are what the parable's about. This is what Jesus talked about. These are the things that were important to him. Look at Mark chapter 9. Mark 9. This is a very interesting. And until I understood the message of the kingdom, I really didn't get what is written here. So I'm going to try to explain it to you. All right? Mark 9, verse 1. And Jesus was saying to them, truly, he's talking to his disciples, the 12 that are here. Truly, I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. What? He's talking to his disciples, his apostles. He said, there's some of you, he didn't say all of them, he said, there's some of you here. Before you die, you're going to see the kingdom of God come with power. What do you mean by that? You got to read the next verse. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, some of them that were standing there. and brought them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his garments became radiant and exceeding white, as no launderer on earth can whiten them. Elijah appeared to them along with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. This is known as the Mount of Transfiguration. What was seen at the Mount of Transfiguration? What was seen at the Mountain of Transfiguration was the kingdom of God coming in its power and in its glory, with Jesus in his exalted position and the resurrection, because you got Moses and Elijah there talking with Jesus in his resurrected glorious position. A few of those saw the kingdom of God in its power before they died. Peter, James, and John got to see a vision of Jesus in his glorified state and what will be like when that kingdom comes. I just think that's awesome. Look at Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and in verse 13. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. They're walking through the streets, and the kids, little kids were coming, you know, that they wanted to see Jesus. And the disciples would say, "Get away from him, kid." You know, trying to keep the kids away from Jesus. And Jesus saw this. He was indignant. And he said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." Whoa. We're supposed to be like children towards this message. I have in your notes Matthew 5:3. Matthew 5:3 says, and maybe you know it, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven." Right? Matthew 18, Jesus says, and poor in spirit means humble. Blessed are the humble. Yours is the kingdom. In Matthew 18, Jesus has another thing with children, and he takes up, and that one's actually a baby. He puts it in his hand, and he says, "Unless you humble yourself as this little child, you will not enter the kingdom of God." Well, what does that mean? Well, what is it about a child? Now, there's some problems with children, but there's also a humility, especially a little young baby. Who clothes that baby? The parents. Who feeds that baby? The parents. Who changes that dirty diapers? The parents. Can that baby do anything for itself, really? No. That's the area of humility, where you become totally dependent upon God and not prideful. But you depend, you humble yourself to where you're receptive to what God has said, to where your dependence is upon Him. God doesn't deal well with prideful people. Humility is required, absolute requirement, for us to have entrance into the kingdom. That's what Jesus preached. Incidentally, I've mentioned a couple times, the book of Matthew uses the phrase kingdom of heaven. It's the only book in the Bible where that phrase is used. Is the book of Matthew. It's not used in Mark, Luke, or John, or any of the other places of the Bible. The kingdom of heaven, for whatever reason, the inspiration given to Matthew when he wrote, he used the phrase kingdom of heaven, and there heaven is metaphorically representing the place where God dwells. It's the same phrase, it's just unique to Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is the same thing as the kingdom of God. So that's a little side note. Verse 17. Chapter 10:17. Yeah, here we are. "As he was setting on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" How many are interested in that? Anybody? Eternal life? Okay. This is what Jesus is about. Eternal life. "And he said, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good except God. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said, Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said, One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when he heard these words, he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. You know, one thing Jesus didn't say, he listed a few of the commandments. One commandment he didn't list, thou shalt not covet. This man had a problem with covetousness. He had a covetousness of his possessions. And Jesus said, go sell it. Sell that stuff and give it away. Because he had something in his heart that Jesus knew about. He said, you need to get rid of that. And he walked away. And then Jesus, looking around, said to the disciples, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to what? Enter the kingdom of God. Now, do you see that? Now, listen. Listen close. This man asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life, right? Jesus answers, and he says how hard it will be to enter the kingdom of God. This puts the kingdom of God and that entrance into that, with that entrance into eternal life. That this is the time when the kingdom comes on earth, there's a resurrection from the dead, and eternal life really begins at this time when the kingdom comes. And then he says it's hard, and they say, well, who's going to get in? And then he says in verse 24, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. And they're like, who could be saved? Verse 27, Jesus said, with people it's impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. You see, we could have possessions, but those things are not to own us. All the stuff. You know, if it's got you distracted, if it's got you going in places you shouldn't go, if it's taking you away from God and the things of God, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Because I think there's a verse that says, what is it if a man gains the whole world but loses his own soul? See, the kingdom is everything. All the other stuff is nice, but the kingdom is everything. You see, Jesus, he didn't spend his time teaching about a social gospel. He didn't spend his time telling you about how to live better in this life and all. You know, there's so many things it seems that the church busies itself with. There's one really important message. The kingdom of God is near. Repent. Believe the gospel message. This is the message of Jesus. This is what he talked about. Look at, go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 1. And he called the 12 together. And he gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal diseases. Jesus gives his disciples power over demons and the power to heal and the authority to do these things. All right? Now, and verse 2, he sent them out to proclaim what? The kingdom of God, and to perform healing. I've been to a lot of places and heard a lot of people so excited about healing. I want to see a healing. I want to see a miracle, which is wonderful. But there was a message that went with it. And that message is the kingdom of God is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. And there is power and authority in that name of Jesus. There's power and authority to go out and heal. But don't forget the message. You know, in Acts chapter 3, which is coming up a little bit later in the book of Acts, there's a man at the temple gate. They heal him and the crowd runs. And Peter doesn't say, did you see me heal him? Who else wants to be healed? What's Peter do? He proclaims the kingdom. The healing got their attention. They got healed, and then he proclaims that Jesus is that prophet like Moses. He's the one that people are talking about. Repent, believe on him. That's the message. That's the message. So that happened in the Gospels. They were able to do that. Luke 17. Luke 17. There are so many messages. There are so many verses in the Gospels about Jesus preaching the kingdom. That's all he talked about. Luke 17, verse 20. Look at this, verse 20. 17:20. Now, having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them. So here Jesus is proclaiming, and what do the Pharisees want to know? Okay, Jesus, they're saying, when's it going to happen? When's this kingdom coming? When's it going to happen? When is this kingdom going to come to earth? And the nation of Israel will be God's nation again. And we see the prophets, the promise to David and the promise of the prophets that this kingdom will come and have no end. When's it coming, Jesus? And he says in verse 20, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Now at this point, they didn't believe that he was who he said he was. They needed to come to understand the first thing, that Jesus is the Messiah. Everything centers around him. They had to come to terms with that. He said, you know, you want to know where the kingdom of God is? Look what's in your midst. Look who's talking to you. They had to first come to terms that Jesus is that Messiah. He is this king of the coming kingdom. And now he says to his disciples in verse 22, the days will come when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. He's telling them here, there's going to be a time period. There's a little time period. And they will say to you, look there, look here. Do not go away and do not run after them. For just like the lightning, when it flashes out of one part of the sky, shines to the other part of the sky, so will the Son of Man be in his day. He says, look it. People are going to tell you looking for signs. They're going to tell you to look for signs of the end times. And they're going to look for signs of what's happening. He said, when that day comes, it's going to be like lightning. You ever see this on where the lightning does it? When the day of the Son of Man comes, there's not going to be any question. It's coming like lightning from one end of the sky to the other. All right, it's coming. But he says in verse 23:5, but first, he must suffer for many things and be rejected by this generation. And this is exactly what happened. He was rejected. He was crucified. He was killed. And to this day, he is still rejected by the generation. But don't make no mistake. He is coming. He is coming back. And this kingdom is going to come. And when it comes, it's going to come with authority and power, and everybody's going to know about it. And he says in verse 26, just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it also will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were having gay marriage. I mean, they were marrying, they were being given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood destroyed them all. He said it's going to be just like the days of Noah. They rejected him, but there was a few. There was Noah, That was his family. But then one day it started to rain. It's coming. It's coming. The day is coming. Now go to Acts chapter 1. That's why Jesus said many times in those sermons about the end times, what his admonition to his disciples was, watch and be ready. Watch and be ready. Because you don't know the day it's coming. But it's coming. Our job is to watch. Our job is to pursue. Don't get tempted with the things of this world. Don't get drawn away with the lusts of this world. Don't be drawn away by persecution. We just stay steadfast. And it's coming. So Acts chapter 1 starts out then after Jesus has resurrected from the dead. He's in his resurrected body. Verse 3, to these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking to them of these things concerning the kingdom of God. He continued his message of this coming kingdom that is coming on this earth. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard of me. But John baptized with water, but you are going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6, so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Now that was, you understand what's happened here? Here they've been with him. They've heard him talk about this message. They see him die. I mean, these guys went from utter despair. See him resurrected from the dead to utter jubilation that he is resurrected from the dead. And now for 40 days, they're with him. He's teaching them about the coming kingdom of God. He brings them out to this mount by Mount Olivet. And they're with him and they're saying, Lord, you know, here they are. They're across from Mount Olivet. You can see Jerusalem over the Kidron Valley. They're looking over there going, is this the time, Lord? Is this now? Are we going to go in and take the kingdom? Is this when it's going to happen? Is this when the kingdom's coming? I love it. Look at this. And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed in his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. This is new. He's like, look it. In a few days, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And you are going to be empowered to go forth to the entire world to be my witnesses. Verse 9. And they're at the Mount of Olives. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on. And a cloud received them out of their sight. Here they're saying, Lord, what are we going to do? Is this the time? Jesus says, this is the last thing he said. That's the last thing he said on this earth. It's not for you to know the times that my Father has in his power. It's going to happen. But you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit. And you're going to be my witnesses. Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, under the uttermost part of the earth. And then... He ascended up into the heavens, fulfilling Psalm 110:1. The Lord, Yahweh, said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make my enemies the footstool. Jesus now is seated at the right hand of God. And then in verse 10, as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. So here they are, and then all of a sudden these two guys are standing by him in white clothes. And they said to him, men of Galilee, why are you standing looking into the sky? Why are you looking up? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So the angels say to the disciples, why are you standing around? Get busy doing what he said. Because this same Jesus, he's coming back. And according to the book of Zechariah, he's coming back to the Mount of Olives on that day. His feet are going to come down on the Mount of Olives. And at that day, baby, it ain't even picnic time anymore. He's not going to be crucified. He's not going to be spit on. He's not going to be beaten. He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his kingdom is going to get set up on this earth. Until that time, we are to preach the kingdom. Until that time, this is what we are to live for. Just what he lived for, we are now to carry out on his behalf as his ambassadors in this world. We are to preach this kingdom. And that's what the book of Acts is all about. It's them going forth with a great power and authority on the day of Pentecost. And they moved out and moved this gospel message. That's the job of the church. We're not to busy ourselves with all the other ridiculous things that seems like take up so much of our time. We have a message to give to the world. We have the message of the kingdom. And Jesus is coming back. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, God. Thank you for this truth about our Lord. The truth about the kingdom message. God, I ask you to help us. God, we don't want to be those who don't know, who don't care to know. We don't want to be prideful. We want to be men and women who seek you and seek your face. We want to be men and women who truly want to know, and that the eyes of our understanding can be enlightened, that we can know this tremendous, glorious hope that you have before us. And then we ask you to give us the strength to live each and every day as we go towards that goal, that day when the coming kingdom of God will come to earth. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.